and you know, highlighted, and I don't want to make it, I don't want to mark it up. Well, get one you can mark up, you know. But it's good to highlight stuff that the Lord speaks to you. How many know Miss Cindy shared the Lord is speaking? He is still speaking. He has not stopped speaking. No matter if you feel like you're in a dry place or not, the Lord's speaking. When I feel like I'm in a dry place, I don't automatically assume that the Lord's not speaking to me anymore. I automatically assume, and which is accurately so, I don't say, God, what's your problem? I go, self. Have you been getting time in the presence in the God? Have you been spending time in the presence of God? Have you been dwelling in the secret place? Right? Because if we're dwelling in the secret place, He is speaking. God's not sitting there pouting, going, "You didn't spend enough time with me. I ain't saying nothing." You know, it's not God's fault, is it? You know, if we're not hearing from God, then what we need to do is go back and begin to do those things that we did before, where we were hearing from God. You know, if He's given you some instruction, carry it out. Yeah. Often God won't give you anything else to do if you haven't done what you've already done. You know, me and Heather are like that with counseling. You come and we do counseling, you don't do what we instructed you to do, then why am I giving you anything else? You haven't done the first thing. I mean, no, I can't give you the 10th step in the staircase if you don't do the first 9, right? So, but anyway, God is still speaking, and right now we're on this series called Knowing God, and I want to talk to you. I want to encourage you with this thought today. You can know Him. You can know Him. And when I say know Him, I mean, and Brent mentioned it wonderfully, you can know Him by experience. By experience, not just know Him by a book, not just know Him because somebody else said, but know Him experientially yourself. Amen. Go with me to John chapter 17. It's kind of our springboard that we use. It's the foundational scripture we're using to kind of, you know, move through this series. And I'm going to get on to some other things that it's in my heart to share with you. But the Lord is good and He loves you, and He wants, you are known by Him, and He wants to be known by you. He wants you to know Him. It's not like you're having to talk God into doing something that He is scratching at His throne trying to keep Himself from doing. No, He wants you to know Him. He wants that personal interaction with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at John chapter 17, verse 3. It says this, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know You, the only true God. Now, this is Jesus speaking, so we know it's good stuff, right? And this is the way to have eternal life, to know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one You sent to earth. So the whole idea is the way we have eternal life is by knowing Him. And I think I shared either last week or the week before, sometimes I lose track of what I said when, but what we know is eternal life is not, He's not just talking about you have eternal life so when you die you get to spend eternity with Jesus. It includes that, but that's not where it starts. See, Jesus says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish but have eternal life. Everlasting life, and that starts right here, right now. When you make that decision to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, that eternal life began right there. Amen. Healing is in eternal life. Provision is in eternal life. Peace is in eternal life. Joy is in eternal life. All these wonderful things, attributes, and promises of God are in eternal life. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So He says, the way to have eternal life is to know Him, though. So if we're going to have eternal life, we've got to know Him. We need to get to know Him. I would say there's many people bear with me when I make this statement, okay? There are many people that are saved that are not enjoying eternal life. It's one of those amplified Selah moments. Pause and think about that. You can be saved and not in... I didn't say you didn't have eternal life. I said you can be saved and not be enjoying eternal life. Right? But to know Him is to have and to enjoy the eternal life that He has provided. Amen? All right. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Hallelujah. Now, how many know we have a better covenant based on better promises? Isn't that good? I mean, man, that's good news right there. Hey, I got to tell you that because Jesus says, go and preach the good news. Right? So I'm telling you that, you know, we have a better covenant based on better promises. Let's start in verse, actually, could you, Bill, could you back that up to verse 6? I didn't tell him, I didn't put in verse 6 in the notes, but let's back up to verse 6 and we'll take it from there. Now watch this, it says, but now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood, right? For he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant. I mean, it's not just a better covenant. It is a far better covenant. I mean, the covenant that we have as believers now is so much better than what they had in the Old Testament. I don't even know what to say about it. There's just no comparison. It is so, and when we get to the end of this passage, you're going to see one of the things that makes it so amazing. Hallelujah. But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood, for he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. If the first covenant had been faultless, if it had been cool, if it had been, you know, great, there would have not been no need for a second covenant to replace it. But when God found fault with the people, he said this, the day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. They did not remain faithful to my covenant. So I turned my back on them, says the Lord, or disregarded them. But this is the new covenant that I make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And look at verse 11. It's getting really good here. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me. Everyone from the least to the greatest will know me. Now, what does that mean? He's comparing the Old Testament with the New Testament, the Old Covenant with the New Covenant. In the Old Covenant, the presence of the Lord would come upon people for certain periods of time, would come upon a king to do something, would come upon a prophet, a priest, someone to do something specific for him. But the people in general did not get to enjoy the presence of God all the time. And most of those people, the Spirit of the Lord never came upon most of those people. Now, why do we have a better covenant based on better promises? Because now we live in a covenant where we can enjoy the presence of God personally at any given moment. We don't have to be at church to enjoy the presence of God. We can be at home doing the laundry. We can be at home, or we can be at the store, or we can be driving down the road. How many of you ever enjoyed the presence of God driving down the road? Have you ever gotten so much in His presence that you thought it might be safer just pull over? Right? That's when you know you've really tapped into a stream in the presence of God, when you're like, I'm feeling a little unsafe in my driving right now. I'm feeling maybe a little bit intoxicated by the presence of God right now. I just need to pull over for their safety. Right? Man, that's glorious. But that's all possible now in this new covenant. That's why it is a better covenant based on better promises. What is it? It's put in real simple terms. We get to know the Lord personally, yourself. You can know Him yourself. You can know the Lord yourself. That's the title of today's message, is you can know Him yourself. You can know God for yourself is the actual title. Now, I didn't take the time, and I'm not going to take the time to get into all the Amplified. The Amplified version of this Bible makes a statement about in these verses, and when he talks about knowing the Lord, it uses this amazing phrase called to know Him by experience. So let me tell you what God doesn't want. Would you like to know what God don't want? God don't want you coming to church just to learn about Him. I mean, you know, we come to church and we learn about God, and it's good that we learn about God. But God has no desire for you to come to church just to learn about Him. His desire is not for you to come so we can just fill your head with a bunch of information. Information overload, right? God desires for you to come to church and learn about Him, but also to experience Him. Our endeavor is that every time you come, we try to do things that helps you to connect with God. That's why we sing worship songs. That's why we release people to go back and get prayer. Sometimes we'll do things from the front, you know, whatever. But it's about helping you to connect with God, to experience Him for yourself. And that's what makes our better covenant based on better promises so beautiful, is because it's about knowing Him personally by experience for yourself. Amen? Isn't that good? All right, go to Hebrews chapter 11. Just back over a couple pages to the right. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, as we said a week or so ago, you know, Hebrews is like the big faith chapter, right? And you can't separate knowing God from faith, because as we're going to see down here in one verse, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him, right? And it talks about knowing God. But I want you to look at verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. Look at this. Now, this is awesome. It was how? By faith. That Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. This is not a fable. This is not what we may think of as a Bible story. I try not to call them Bible stories anymore, because people tend to think, well, stories, oh, that's just a nice little story. But no, they are not just stories. They are actual historical events. And this is an actual historical event. And it says that by faith, Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. Can you just imagine that? Enoch's just kicking rocks one day, walking down the street, just fellowshipping with the Lord. You got to remember, he had heard Grandma and Grandpa Adam and Eve talking about walking in the cool of the day. And the Lord would come, and he would just walk with them, and they'd just be talking. I mean, hearing all these stories, and I'd imagine one day, maybe he heard enough stories, he's like, I want to know God like that. They knew him like that. I want to know him like that. So he just begins to go out there and is talking to God. Just talking to God. And he got so close with the Lord. He's just kicking along. And all of a sudden, he just like steps over into another realm. He's like, man, this is nice. I think I'm just going to stay right here. The Lord took him without dying. You know, you hear people talking about, oh, the Lord took this one. Oh, the Lord took that one. blaming God for somebody's death. Just off the top of my head, and some of you Bible readers can help me if I miss one, but I can think of two encounters where the Lord took somebody, and they were alive when he took them. Took Elijah, and he took Enoch, and they weren't dead when he took them. Nowhere else in Scripture does it refer to God taking anybody when they died. God is not the author of death, nor is he the author of sickness and disease, which is in calamity, which is the ways that most people die. Right? So there's only two places. I mean, I would be okay if God took me. You know? That's the way Enoch went. That's the way Elijah went. He just went up in a whirlwind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But here's the beautiful thing. We can know him for ourselves. So I really want to talk about two things today. One is you can know him. You personally. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. You can know him for yourself. Amen. Let's look at what else it says. Then it goes down in verse 6 and it says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists." Well, that would be a key element, wouldn't it? You got to believe that he exists. You got to not buy into this stupid, earthly, worldly dumbness. I had one guy said it this way, from the goo to the zoo to you. Evolution. Slime up under a rock somewhere, turned into an animal that turned into a man. The goo to the zoo to you. I thought that was cute. It's not accurate, but it was kind of a cool way to say it. All right, but he says here, he says, and it is, you notice that when he talks about Enoch, the verse 6 starts with the word and. So it connects it. So it's connecting this next thought with what he just said about how Enoch was not, or he did not die, for God took him, right? And it says, for he disappeared because God took him, for before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. So we know that Enoch walked by faith. First of all, he started off by walking in the faith of what his grandma and grandpa was saying. How they walked with God in the cool of the day. I would be willing, you can't prove me wrong, and I can't prove it one way or the other, but this is what I think. I think that God shared some pretty amazing things with Adam and Eve. And they just had great conversation about it. I mean, God did create Adam and Eve. And he created them to be brilliant. So I don't think God had to explain every tiny little speck of the conversation to them. I think they were created in the image of God. God breathed life into them, right? And so they were able to have wonderful conversation together. And I'd imagine Enoch kept hearing these stories. And he's like, man, I want to know God like that. I hope that I'm inspiring you today to know God like that. Because here's the thing, you can know him for yourself. You can know him for yourself. Amen? So God does not want you to just come to church and learn about him. He wants you to come to church and experience him. Amen? And not only at church, he wants you to experience him. Watch this. Every day. Did you notice how the Bible says that Adam and Eve walked with the Lord daily in the cool of the day? God would just show up and say, hey, let's talk for a while. That's the way I want to be. That's what I want for you, to know him. You know, all this started because we was looked at that scripture over in Daniel where it says, and those that know their God will be strong. Watch this. You cannot truly know God and be weak. Now, I didn't say you can't know about God. A lot of people know about God. Churches are filled all over the world with people that know some things about God, but there's no strength in their life. No, you cannot truly know him. We're not talking about having some kind of familiarity. We're not talking about, oh yeah, I learned another cool aspect about God today. We're talking about taking the time to actually get to know him. Because those that know their God, the Bible says in Daniel, those that know their God will be strong. You know, I've talked to people and I've shared things with that with people before. Well, I know God, but I'm just struggling. Whoa. Wait a minute. That's not even a possibility. I did not say you would never face challenges. That's not what I said. But when you know God, you will never have to be concerned about challenges. Because you know He's faithful. As you get to know Him, you get to know that He's faithful. You get to know Him as a healer. You get to know Him as a provider. You get to know Him as your righteousness, as your victory banner. I mean, you get to know God. When you get to know God, it's like, why are you worried about anything? Because God's going to take care of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Think about this. When you get to know God, you will never be lonely. Did you hear what I said? Jesus said, He felt like everybody had abandoned Him, but He said, but I'm never alone. Why? Because God's always right there. See, it's all about becoming God inside minded. Where you just know God is always with me. If you feel like God is always with you, you won't have to feel abandoned. You won't have to feel anxious. You won't have to feel depressed. You won't have to feel fearful, because God is always right there with me. So that's what we're talking about, getting beyond this, I gave my life to Christ, now I know God. No, you know some things about God, but we're talking about really getting to know Him. Because when you get to know Him by experience, all care, that's why, then it's easy to cast all your care over on the Lord. Because why? Because you know He cares for you. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm almost done. Ooh, I gotta be done. Okay. Let me share this with you real quick. I'll share this one with you, then we'll go to 1 John and we'll be done. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, "For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus." There is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. So what am I saying? You don't need... Okay. How can I say this? Help me, Holy Spirit. So you don't need to go through someone else to get to know God. Right? There are religion systems in the world that says you need to go to this person and confess your stuff to them. No, my Bible says to confess my sin to Jesus. My Bible says to cast all my care over on Jesus. My Bible tells me that I can know Him for myself. I don't need someone else to do my praying for me. Nothing wrong with praying for other people. Nothing wrong with asking for prayer. The Bible tells us in James, if anyone be sick, let him call for the elders of church that they may anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith that the Lord would raise you up. Nothing wrong with that, unless that's the only way you think you can get answers. If you think that me or Heather has got to do your praying for you, or you're a lost cause, then you're in trouble. I would much rather you just go to God. And that's what this is about. Knowing God on such a level that you know you can go to Him for yourself. Nothing wrong with getting, the Bible talks about when two agree on earth, it's touching. So there's nothing wrong with getting agreement, getting prayer. But if you think that it's only because I prayed for you, or Heather prayed for you, or Brent and Amy prayed for you, or Roger and Virgie prayed for you, or somebody, Cindy, Carolyn, somebody else prayed for you, if that's the only reason you think you can get answers, then that's where you need to grow. Because God wants to know you for He wants you to know you. He wants you to know him for yourself. He wants to know that Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 applies to you, which says this: I can come boldly to the throne of grace, then I may obtain mercy and find help in a time of need. It didn't say my preacher. Didn't say my preacher can come boldly. He said, we can. You can come boldly yourself. Why? Because you can know him yourself. So look at 1 John 2:27. I'll be done. Look at this. This is beautiful. 1 John 2 and 27, it says, but you have received the Holy Spirit. He didn't say you've received a priest. He didn't say you've received a man or woman of God. He didn't say you've received a pastor. Now, we know that those are effective because the Bible, Jesus also said, you know, that he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, blah, 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 and on down the line, right? So we're not saying that that doesn't apply. We're just simply saying, he says here, but he gave you, you have received the Holy Spirit. And he lives in you. I can't live in you. You probably wouldn't want me living in you. That sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? Awkward. But you have received the Holy Spirit. Everybody said, thank you, Jesus. Right? But you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone. Now, hear me out. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. Right? Why? For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. Okay? What he's not saying here is you don't need teachers. We know that's not the case because over in Ephesians it says, and he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So, but what he's saying is you don't have to be dependent upon me to get revelation. He can give you revelation in your bathroom.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on. I'm just saying, I know him by experience. He can give you revelation in the garage. He can give you revelation working in the yard. He can give you revelations driving down the road, spending time with him. But the most important thing you need to remember about receiving revelation is you get revelation from knowing him. And that's what makes our covenant better than the old covenant, because they couldn't get revelation. Just the general population couldn't get revelation. They had to go to the prophet, priest, or king, and they had to get what God told them to tell them. But now Jesus is saying, I brought a new, better covenant based on better promises. This covenant, you get to know me. You get to know God personally by your own experience. He can give you revelation without you talking to anybody. Amen? I pray that you're getting revelation on this while I'm talking right now. But if you are, let me assure you, you are not getting that revelation from me. You're getting it because while I'm teaching and doing my job, the Holy Spirit is doing his job and opening up your spiritual eyes to spiritual truth, which, by the way, only he can do. Amen. Isn't that good? Man, I am so glad that I'm not dependent upon another person to get revelation. What if they didn't study? What if they were flaking out all week? Then I'm supposed to depend upon them to... Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit isn't flaking out all week? And that while you're listening or while you're praying or while you're worshiping, he can just drop a nugget of truth right in your spirit, man. See, and that's what that's saying. It's not saying... Now, because, I mean, if you look at the verse before that, he says, I am writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. See, that's what he's referring to. He's not saying you don't need teachers. We all need teachers. The Bible says there's safety in the presence of many counselors. So teachers are good. Pastors are good. That was way too quiet when I said that, okay? Pastors are good. Yes. Glory to God. I'll amen myself. Whatever. But revelation only comes by the Holy Spirit, and that's what he's saying. He's saying you get to know God for yourself. You can hear from him for yourself. You need to learn to hear from him. And we're going to get into the nuts and bolts and how and all that as we go. But you need to get to where you can hear from God yourself. That you're in a place where you can receive revelation. Amen.